Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And today we have a very special guest, someone who you're going to love, someone who was a former Miss Virginia Teen USA, a former Miss Virginia USA, a former Disney princess at Tokyo Disneyland, a practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and the last player standing in the historic season 26 of The Bachelor. Please welcome Susie Evans.
Wow, thank you so much. You were really going back. Miss Virginia Teen, back in the day.
I love it.
had to make sure that we got it all correct, all of the information correct.
Teen and adult, that's prolific.
You were in season 26, but what got you to season 26? When did you first watch The Bachelor, or what kind of reality TV did you watch growing up?
I didn't really watch reality TV growing up. My first exposure to The Bachelor was when I was living in Tokyo, and my friend Julie Harsh, she would do Bachelor nights every Tuesday, because I guess we were, you know, and with the time difference, and I guess maybe they had on Hulu then, I don't actually know. But she would host them, and she would do wine, and everybody would bring food. And I only came to one Bachelor night, but I came and I brought my camera and I made a video about watching The Bachelor, and it's actually still on YouTube. It's really like dramatic. And it was, it was Bachelorette. It was JoJo season. Yeah. Ooh. And I think that's the only episode I ever watched until I moved home from Japan. And my best friends, like everybody in Japan was like, Susie, you should go on The Bachelor. Like, you'd be amazing. And I was like, absolutely not. I would literally never. It's so toxic. Like, I remember just having this mentality about it where I was like, I would never do that. Like, I'm so not that girl. And then my friends in Virginia also had been watching it for years. And I guess it just wasn't ever my thing. And they were like, no, you literally would be amazing. Like, you would thrive in this environment. And I was like, I don't know. And it was Colton season was coming up. And I guess like the impression of Colton, like going into his scene, is that he was real wholesome and a real nice guy. And I was like, I remember just thinking like, I was actually like a really nice, genuine person. And I was like, well, I mean, sure. Like, I was in Japan for 2 years. My dating history was real boring. I pretty much was just randomly going on Hinge dates and trying to use Google Translate to date. So I was like, why not? And so my friends and I, they filled out like a snail mail application, like printed it and hand wrote it. They printed pictures of me. Yeah. They printed pictures of me like doing jujitsu in Japan, and they sent it in the mail, and I never heard anything. And I got into a relationship that year with that same friend that nominated me, Lauren. There was a couple of them, but Lauren introduced me to a guy. And then a year later, I heard from The Bachelor, and they're like, hey, your friends like sent in an application, but we'd already casted. We held on to it. We wanted to see if you're still single. And I was like, actually, I'm not. But I was like, you guys are interested in me? Like, I was suddenly so flattered that the show had reached out. And I couldn't believe it, because I just thought, oh, like, you know, they got my application. Obviously, they didn't want to pursue me. And then things didn't work out with that guy. They contacted me the next year, and I considered it, but I was going to Miss USA. And I just wanted to be like fully invested in that. And I wanted to pursue that dream. So I like talked with them. I submitted pictures and videos and stuff. And then as Miss USA got closer, I just told them, I was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. Like, I think it's going to be an overlap. And I'm kind of like hyper-focused on this. And my dad had gotten sick that year. So didn't work out. And then the next year they contacted me again. I had just been cheated on. And I was like, let's go.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Wow. So did you have a lot of like knowledge about how the show worked when you went in then?
I think I did.
Did any of the pageant people look at The Bachelor a certain way? Was it looked down upon? Were people trying to get on The Bachelor from the pageant world?
I remember my friend Charlotte. She was Miss West Virginia. We were really close. And I told her that The Bachelor had contacted me, and she was like, don't do it. Don't do it. She was like, it's such a cop out. Like, so many girls come from Miss USA and then go to The Bachelor. And I was like, well, they've been in my DMs for a couple of years now. I was like, they contacted me before Miss USA did.
Yeah, they've been into me from day one. Wow. This is a long-term relationship.
Yeah, I was like, this is a fun little thing we have going here.
So did you know, going into it, did you know anything about like the structure of how the game of it worked?
Certainly not. I mean, I don't know if you mean game as in like, how to succeed at The Bachelor. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, how to succeed and what the different phases of it are, like that there would be a night one and then a third of the players would get kicked out and then you go into the regular season, then you go into the hometowns and fantasy suites, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I definitely knew the stages of it, but I think everyone did. Like everyone knows there's a night one and everyone's just like, oh my God, I just want to get through night one. Like, please let me make it through. And then, yeah, I definitely knew there was hometowns, fantasy suites. We didn't know if there'd be travel because we were just coming out of like COVID time. Right. So you know, that would be included. But it was, so that was also an element, which I hadn't seen. No, Colton's season did have travel. That was the first season I ever watched like fully through.
So when you get on the show, I have to ask this question because it's something that Bachelor Clues was theorizing for a long time. They had been contacting you for years. You were a big get. Were you sequestered away in your own tower at any point during Clayton's season?
Sequestered away in my own tower? What does that mean?
Like you weren't staying with the rest of the other people on the show.
Basically, I had a theory because you were at least in the edit. It was presented that you weren't around some of the big dramatic moments that were happening. And so I kind of came up with this theory that the producers were like protecting you from certain things because they had developed a deep run for you in the season.
Called the Evans Chamber.
The Evans Chamber. I think I locked myself away in that chamber. But no, I don't think that the producers protected me from it. I think that I remember people being so mad at girls for stupid stuff. And I think I was kind of a diffuser. So if anything, I think I would talk rationally to people. And so if anything, that protected me because I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're passionate about it, then sure, you can bring it up with that person. But if it's something that you can just like let go of, then I wouldn't bother. Like, that's how I approach things in life. And so maybe producers don't want that advice going around the house. So maybe, but I also think that I remember like after one of the, I think it was the first group date, there was drama on night one of the first group date. And I was getting snacks in the kitchen and all the girls are talking on the couch. And I literally, they had these massive bowls of like, M&Ms and pretzels. And I could hear like stuff happening in the living room. And so I'm just like trying to be as quiet as I can, like pop open the lid and like get my hand in the M&Ms. And then I like pull the M&Ms out. And then I slowly start walking over and I see everybody's like mad on the couch. I think it was something to do with Sierra. I forget. Or I think it was Sierra and Cassidy might've had drama. And so I'm just like eating my M&Ms, watching this all unfold. And then everything kind of explodes. And I walk out and I see Cassidy and I don't know who's starting the drama. And she's like, do you want to go talk? And I'm like, yeah. And so we went and chatted and I was like getting all the tea from her. But again, I was like diffusing the situation. And I was like, just giving really, in my opinion, really rational advice. So I don't think, I remember that first conversation with her. And I remember being like, ooh, this is tea. And I just also remember being like, I don't want to be like categorized as like her buddy because I felt.
Because you could tell she was going to get a villain edit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could tell that she was. Well, I think what was happening was she was getting worked up over stuff that was happening. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, if that were me, I would have just like let that go. And so I was just trying to give rational advice. And then get out of the situation.
Yeah, they lock away the diffusers, it turns out.
Yeah.
Or the diffusers are in the kitchen eating their M&Ms.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Was you at one point when you are in, where is it, Prague? You end up in the clock tower with Clayton. Was this your idea to like set up this romantic meetup? How did you come up with that?
It was definitely my idea that I wanted to express my feelings to Clayton because I felt I hadn't had the opportunity to fully get like good one-on-one time. And so the conversations around that were like, oh, I just feel like I haven't been able to express myself and I haven't had the proper time to share my feelings and reassure him that I'm on the same page as him. And like, I hope he knows how much I care about him. So I would say those conversations were happening. Yeah.
With producers, you mean?
Yeah. I definitely want to be like, I don't know how much I'm allowed to like talk about everything. So
sure. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I think everybody knows that dates like that, where you don't get a one-on-one or you don't get time at the after party, but you get a thing that's like a one-on-one. I think everybody knows that doesn't happen without producers. Knock knocks don't happen without producers. Steals don't happen without producers. Group date roses don't happen without producers.
I just wonder how much it's like the people's idea or not. And like, maybe it used to be people's ideas to do it, and now it's kind of something they put into it. Just curious.
I think my best way to probably describe that situation would be, I was in a scenario where I was like, oh, I don't know that I've communicated my feelings, and I'm worried that I might go home. Like, maybe I'm getting kind of like lost in the pack because I haven't been as intentional with my time. Mm-hmm. Or like, there was like a several periods, I didn't really air, but for several weeks where we were kind of like stuck on this one topic of like, how you react in the face of adversity. And I kept trying to ask this question and it kept getting lost in translation with Clayton. And so I felt like we kept wasting so much time because you get so little time. Mm. It was right around that time where I was like, I just don't know if like he knows how I feel about him. So of course, like, I didn't have the key to the clock tower, but I was able to make that happen with the help of some friends, you know?
Right. But these, okay, we'll call them friends. So yeah. These friends, do the other... women that are in the house with you, when these friends say, oh, we're going to go into the clock tower, and those friends don't allow any of the other women to go in the clock tower, are there open conversations among all of the other women there about how friends will help some people but not help other people?
There are. Yeah. I would say there were several times when girls were like wanting to go home, or they were feeling just like not good and about being there. And I think it's because they felt like they didn't receive help, or they didn't receive guidance and stuff. But I also felt like that. Like, I know, I remember seeing, because if, again, not trying to share, like, overshare too much or like dissolve the illusion of the romance, but like anything that happens on the show, like if you have a prop or something, somebody has to go get that for you. Like, we don't have access to our phones or Instacart or, you know, Task Rabbit. Somebody can go like pick something up for you. So in theory, we all have to have help in order to make anything happen. So anything that you see happen has been kind of arranged by a friend.
I love friends. I'm going to use that forever now. The friends.
Yeah. By our friends. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that some people, I remember feeling like hearing about all these things that were happening. And I was like, nobody's helping me. And I would come up with all these ideas and all these funny, quirky things that I was like, oh, this would be so cute, or it would be such a fun idea. And then nobody would help me. And so I remember feeling like that as well at times as well. And so I think everyone kind of goes through that, but certainly I'm sure some people felt very much like they didn't receive any help.
I think I would feel that based on like what dates I'm on too. I would be like, oh, I'm on the football group date. I have no friends.
My friends are my enemies.
My friends are real assholes. I know in some seasons on the football group date, that's a tried and true group date. They do it in a lot of different seasons. In some seasons, players have gotten concussed and taken to the hospital, and your friends have disappeared that from the edit and tried to keep that story quiet. They've, in some cases, players have had to get surgery to repair injuries, and friends disappear that. Did anybody on your football group date get severely injured?
Not that I know of. I will say I felt so freaking bad. To answer your question, not that I know of, I don't think anybody got severely hurt or concussed. I know Eliza lost a nail, and we found
okay, it. That's not so bad.
We found
it. They found it
at the end of the game. Wow. I think Clayton found it, and he was like, "Whose nail is this?" And she was like, "Oh, that's mine."
It's like Cinderella.
It was kind of ironic. Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, "How did you find her nail so randomly?" But I will say, going into the football date, I remember being like, "Like, I do jujitsu, and we." practice tackles and takedowns and all these things. But like, if you don't know how to fall in jiu-jitsu, you can literally like, if you throw somebody, people can tear their own ACLs from throwing somebody. People can, you can hurt people so bad, so unintentionally. It's truly so dangerous. And if you don't know how to fall, or if you don't know how to take a throw or a hit, it's truly dangerous. Like that's one of the first things you learn to do is fall. And so I remember going into the date and being like, I know how to properly tackle somebody and not hurt them. But if they don't know how to fall or take a hit, it's still super, super dangerous. And so I don't think I was aggressive at all, especially because I'm a bigger girl compared to most of the girls on the show. Like I'm 5'8" and like strong. So a lot of these girls are like 5'2". It should be illegal. Like I shouldn't be on the same field as them. Like,
it should be illegal. Really? They're 5'2" and they have giant nails. They're not meant for this.
Yeah. And I remember being like really, really uneager to tackle anybody, but I have absolutely no skills to catch a ball. So I was like, I'm pretty helpless out here. And the one tackle I did, it was Hunter. And I think there were like three of us that took her down. And I feel like I thought she was actually hurt really bad. And I remember being like, this is why I didn't want to tackle anybody. Like I felt so bad. Like I was afraid I was going to lose my friendship with her. Cause I was like, she was like truly hurt from it, but not enough to go to the hospital. But I just felt so bad. She was like walking like this for 3 days. It was so bad.
I mean, I've never played tackle football. I don't think I would know how to fall or tackle anyone or catch. I think I could throw. I would be Tom Brady.
Lizzie Pace, the Tom Brady of The Bachelor. So you get through all these harrowing situations. You also get the pretty woman date, which you talked about on, I believe, She's All Batch, kind of what that was about, with the H&M clothes being like pushed into the thing and passed off as designer clothing.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Which like, that was like such a big deal that came out. And I'm like, I didn't even realize that was a big deal. Like that was just my reality. And honestly, I love H&M. So I was like, woo, like, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's not like I'm handpicking and trying on all these things. So it's like, you do get a ton of stuff, which so grateful. Like, I don't want anyone to be like, she's an ungrateful little bitch. Like, honestly, I realized how that came off when afterwards. So I'm like, I love H&M. Like,
new episode title.
Yeah, so it was still really cool. But yeah. I also, yeah, I think a lot of people ask me to this day, did you get to keep all the dresses? And I'm like, no, like I got a dress. Yeah. I got a blue dress. And then that red one we gave back, it was like a designer gown. So yeah.
I liked it. I loved that little insight because we've seen Pretty Woman dates, you know, since season one, we've seen them. So it's like, it's just such a big part of the game. And I never really thought through where the clothes were from. I assumed that they would at least be all your size, but you left right before this infamous rose ceremony from hell. How do you think, why do you think Clayton chose to do this rose ceremony from hell? Do you think it's like,
do you think he had some friends around maybe telling him he should do it?
Maybe friendships,
you know, hard to say. I think if I had to guess, I don't know. Well, I do, but if I had to guess, my theory would be that Clayton, maybe he had guidance. I actually don't know exactly, but I'm trying to think back and I'm like, I know Clayton's heart. And I'm like, I know he was trying to do the right thing. And sometimes when you do the right thing, it comes out all jumbled up and you just make a big mess of everything else. And like, I know he was trying to do the right thing and it just backfired completely. It wasn't well thought out. And even if, say it was his idea or it wasn't his idea, I genuinely don't know. He should have taken action and been and fought for it to be different. Like, and I think he sees that now. And he's like, regardless of whose idea it was, he should have been like, I need to go have a conversation with these people individually. But when you're there, and especially someone like who's never seen the show, he has no clue how this works. He has no clue that you can go to somebody's room and, you know, knock, knock on their door. Like, we don't fully have access to make those decisions. So Of course, now with hindsight, he probably would go back and be like, I need to have an individual conversation and go be in private with these people and have this conversation, or right, as private as you can be. But I know he was trying to do the right thing, and it just came out really messy.
I mean,
yeah, I think when you're in that position, it's hard to see all the situations objectively sometimes, like,
for sure,
because you don't have your support systems with you.
And even if you make the right choices, if you do the best possible thing you can in that situation, your friends still get together and edit it whatever way they want and then put it out to make you look however they want. Speaking of your friends, at this point, you have, in quotes, left the show. You have said, I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Yet we know you come back in the end. So what do your friends do in that part of the timeline where you're supposedly gone, but you're not really gone? Are your friends saying like, well, just stick around, have a fun vacation for a week and we'll see what happens?
No, I don't think there was any intention of me coming back on. I think the whole point of me being in Iceland, well, at least from what I understood, was so that the ending wouldn't be spoiled. And I actually understood that. Like, they explained that to me. They were like, there's people on the lookout for when people are coming home, when you get your phone back, when you get social media back. Like, people were... And it's so true. And I even see it now. People are like, oh, I see so-and-so is like active. And I'm like, how are people paying attention to this? Like, I literally don't
understand. They see everything.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. And so when they explained that to me, I was like, I totally get it. Like, I'm a very big acceptor of my fate in the sense that, like, if I can't do anything to change it, I'm not going to complain or be a big baby about it. And I understood the concept where I was like, okay, you don't want this to get spoiled. I've agreed to come on a show and I've signed this NDA. I've agreed to be a part of this experience. I'll sit here and build gingerbread houses and go crazy in this, like, for the next 3 days.
That's interesting. I mean,
I want to see that footage.
In terms of them, in terms of your friends telling you that specifically, I mean, every season is always spoiled because there are some friends who spoil it. They leak that information to people like Reality Steve and whatever every season. So I don't know how honest your friends were with that specifically, but it's interesting that they use that as kind of the reason to keep you there. In the end, though, you get to a point where they get you back. They somehow tell you whatever they need to tell you to get you back to come to this final rose ceremony. And you're faced with this unimaginable moment where you actually reject the final rose. What was going through your head at that moment? Why did you turn down the final rose? And how did you perceive that that might be edited?
It sounds so dumb, but when I talked with Clayton, I was under the impression that everybody else had already left. I actually didn't know that the other girls were still there. And I think that had to happen because of, I think that was like a production thing where it was like, he wanted to go talk with the other women and then talk with me after. But I think because of like the way things were booked, like his parents were only there for one more day. It was like this whole, like it had to be done this way. So I was under the impression that the other girls had already left and, which was like, oh shit. Like, I was like, well, damn, because I remember thinking, I was like, why are you doing this? I remember being like, you literally have two people that want to be with you. I don't want to be here anymore. Why are you trying to force me to be with you? Is how I felt. And I also felt like at that time, I didn't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't trust Clayton. I didn't trust my friends. I didn't trust anybody in my proximity. And from that point on, I was completely shut down. And I think that something that people misconstrue about me constantly is because I'm very friendly, very loving and open. And I'll share a lot and I will talk openly and friendly with everybody. And people think that I trust them. And even at that point, I was like, I don't trust a single MF-er in this building, including Clinton. I didn't trust anybody. And I was like, I got to get the hell out of Iceland. And I was like, I just want my passport and my phone. And in my gingerbread cookie house, and it's coming with me. And I'll mark it on my customs form if I need to. Like, I was so, just like anything I could say to get out of there was where I was at. I was still very friendly with producers. We were having good times. Actually, I was crying most every day. But like still in between crying and just being like totally, I remember thinking, I was like, I'm going to be the biggest villain of Bachelor Nation. I remember, and accidentally, like, I didn't mean to do any of this. And I, as it all happened, I was like, holy crap, I just became the biggest villain and people are going to hate me for this. Like, I felt so bad. I was so.
Yeah, no one had ever done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're saying that you felt like you're going to become the villain too. What was your understanding at that point of what a villain was and how they were treated in Bachelor Nation? Like, were you aware of Brendan Marais and Piper James and stuff like that?
Yeah. I had seen their episode of Paradise. Like, I had seen that. I didn't think that I would be portrayed that way. Well, maybe I did after the fight with Clayton. I don't know. But I just know that after that fight with Clayton, it kind of occurred to me, because I went into that week very chill. I know it got portrayed as if I was freaking out, but of course I got to points where I was exhausted and tired and emotional, and I'm sitting here talking and talking and talking on repeat about this. And so of course those clips are the ones that make television, but for the most part, I was chilling that whole week because my mentality was like, I don't give a crap. Like, what happens behind closed doors? But like, I don't have to go home and bring this relationship home with me. Like, and that's how I am in the real world too. Like, I'm never going to like yell at somebody or be mad at somebody, or like, I don't know. I'm just so detached from something until, if somebody's in a committed relationship with me, then I have these like expectations. And obviously I would be furious if somebody like cheated on me or stepped outside of our relationship. Like, that would be infuriating. But in this scenario, I thought his every reason or every ability to explore this however he needs to, but I don't have to like want to go home and like take this relationship home with me. And I think that I am maybe not, I'm certainly not old fashioned. Like, I think everyone can know, I can recognize I'm kind of like wild and a little bit like inappropriate. But when it comes to relationships, I'm like, I 100% would expect my person that's going to spend the rest of their life with me to know that I'm the type of person that you wouldn't risk losing. And I just also think that my belief and my relationship with intimacy is different than Clayton's was. And like, I don't see that as a reason to be mad at him for exploring. Like, I was never mad at him, but I just was like, but like, I would expect my person to know. Like, if you're sitting here telling me you are literally in love with me, I don't know. I think it's just a total mind F, and everyone handles it differently. And I just didn't expect it to be that big of a deal. I'm like, if it was not a big deal to be like intimate with multiple people, to be in love with multiple people, then it's not a big deal for me to walk away either. Cause you got two other people you're in love with. Like, that's my mentality on it. I'm not going to take it seriously until you take me seriously. And that's how I am in the real world. Like, I'm so detached, and it doesn't mean it's not painful or like doesn't hurt my feelings or my ego, but I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't take anyone serious until they prove themselves like as a serious contender for my heart and my love.
So is there another chapter of this story?
What do you mean?
Nothing. Just joking around.
Yeah, let's get into some social media. Not the social media that has been going on this week, but some social media that happened pretty much immediately after you came off the show. You and Clayton, despite saying you don't want the final rose, you wind up together and you start making some social media together, some of which were pizza reviews. Now, I have to ask this. How much were you influenced by Game of Roses to do those pizza reviews?
I think it was like all Clayton, and he totally embraced it. I think at first he was like, they're trolling me. And then it was like, just lean in. Like, yeah. That's my motto. Just lean in. If someone's going to troll me, I'm going to lean in and eat that up.
It literally wasn't trolling at all. We thought he would be great at doing hilarious pizza reviews. And indeed, he was. I loved all of his pizza reviews. Very earnestly, unironically. I think he was born to do it.
He checks out. He loves pizza. Every Friday, he gets pizza no matter what.
I mean, that's a good routine. I can't be mad at that.
It's beautiful.
That makes my heart warm.
I had pizza before this interview to prepare.
She literally did. I watched her eat it.
I watched her eat it. Thank you for confirming.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today. With Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
My pleasure. I almost accidentally dropped some to my dog, and that would have been his first pizza, and that would have been bad. Okay, this is something that Chad and I are always kind of debating, is, and you might have a different view of it than we do, but what percentage of the Bachelor audience do you think thinks that everything that they're seeing is real, and like these are all real relationships, etc., and what percentage do you think realize that a lot of the drama is done in editing and friend practices and stuff?
I actually don't know if I could give you an accurate percentage, but I would say, I actually don't know, but 70% of people at least are very passionate about what they see on television. I mean, the amount of messages I got that were just literally disgusting after the finale, ripping me, ripping Clayton, saying the most horrific, literally disgusting things. And in reality, I'm like, I understand that people were really passionate and they felt really sad about the way things happened with Gabby and Rachel. I totally understand that. And it was really hard to watch. Like, I was like, this is really, really painful. But I could not believe, like, it was an astronomical amount of people that felt so passionate about it that they needed to send me just literally horrific messages. I would have to say like at least 70% of people watching feel passionate about what they see. I don't know if I think most people know to an extent that there's some editing and like storylining done, but I've realized that people take a lot of things very literally. Even when I post on social media, people get so upset about the most ridiculous things. And honestly, I just live for it. And I'm like, I'm a troll. If I'm a troll.
You're a troll.
I only troll trolls. Like I'm the sweetest troll. I troll people in the nicest. I see kind grandpa videos and I just tell them how much I love them. And I donate to people that find people online and are like, let's start a fundraiser. Yeah. I'm like, I'm the first person to Venmo. But if you troll me, you are going to catch the wrath.
How do you do this? How do you do this mentally? I have probably received 0.0001% of it. And I'm like, nope, can't check my DMs anymore.
I think I'm just sick in the head. I'm probably just...
No, I get it. I'm with you. I enjoy it as well. I thoroughly do.
I know. You guys are on that category.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, speaking of getting this trolling, I have two questions. First, and this is just a short one. Do your friends prepare you for what is going to happen to you on social media after this experience?
I don't think so. I thought you met my real friends at first. And I was also like, no, but then I realized everything and I'm like,
no. Yeah, no. Like, no, they signed me up.
Okay. I was just curious if there's any conversations like that. But my next question is this. How did you feel when you were watching the limo exits of Bachelorette 19 and you see the Clayton Sucks song being sung? When you're seeing that, obviously they're trolling Clayton to a lesser extent, trolling you because you're now in a relationship with him. And when you're watching that, you know this was an idea of your friends. Do you have a specific idea of which friend? Bennett Graebner, maybe.
Oh, no. No, I have no idea who, like, genuinely, I have no clue where that comes from or like who that stems from. I couldn't tell you like whose final call that was because I'm sure, I don't know. I have no idea, but I know that I could give two shits if people had stuff to say about me because I'm so secure in my character. I know I'm a loving, kind person that would literally do anything for a literal stranger. Like I love human beings and I care for people. And so I feel secure in who I am. And if somebody wanted to attack my character, although it's easier said than done. I think that to see the person I care about and I'm now in a relationship with and that I love and I know his story, I know his heart, I know how genuine he was. And to see him go through that after it was just like such a painful experience for Clayton. And in all honesty, like, I give him so much credit because he could be the most bitter, sour person. And there was a time when he was, and I obviously just saw him this weekend, and he is so at peace and he is so zen and accepting of everything that happened. And I look at that and I'm like, this major television network show literally sent people out of a limo to make fun of him and to talk about how much he sucks and to literally poke fun at who he is and his character. And he's like, just like, so okay. And I'm like, that could have really effed somebody up in the head. And for a minute it did. And I remember we were actually at a staycation in Virginia Beach at the Cavalier Hotel. It's like this beautiful hotel. It's historic. It's one of my favorite places in Virginia Beach. And they happened to just invite us out for a weekend retreat there. And it happened to be that weekend. We were excited to like watch the show, whatever. And we had kind of caught wind that that was going to happen. And I remember being like, oh, it's on. I was like, watch my TikTok pop off. I was like, you will not troll my man and get away with it without hearing a little something from me. Like, I was so ready. And it's so sad because like, I don't think I would do that for myself, but because it was somebody I loved and somebody I'd seen go through all this pain and like literal, like just sadness from it, I was like, oh, like I am not letting this happen. Like, we don't just sit back and watch, like we're going to participate. Like, that's where like the sicko in my head is like, what can we do? Like, you aren't going
to. I absolutely loved what you did. Are you talking about the robe TikTok?
Robe, the keep my wife came out of your mouth, like all.
It was so good. I honestly think you're one of the best social media people that we've ever seen.
I agree. I believe we gave that our parasocial play of the week that week. It was outstanding because you also very rarely see players stand up to their friends in this scenario. Very usually, I think most players are like afraid to even go there because they threaten you with cease and desist and lawsuits and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I loved it, though.
I did, too.
So funny. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, what can you do? You don't have as big of a platform. They're blasting this on ABC, but I loved it. On She's All Batch, you said that the guys from Bachelorette season 19 called Clayton to let him know that these limo exits were coming. Why do you think that they wanted to villainize Clayton?
Well, I think to an extent, this kind of happens every year. Like, specifically the Bachelorette coming off of a Bachelor season. And I don't think it's like completely out of the norm for the previous Bachelor to get a little bit of like people kind of poke fun at that person to an extent. You know, I think that tends to happen. It doesn't seem to happen as much like with the Bachelorette. You know, like when a Bachelor gets plucked from a Bachelorette season, I mean, at least from what I've seen in the past couple of years.
We went back and looked at this because when Bachelor 19 started airing, we were like, is this normal? Because it seemed like way out of the norm to us.
It seemed really, yeah.
And it definitely was. The two other big villain Bachelors were season 18, one Pablo Galavis, and then Ari Lyandike, season 22. And they were barely mentioned in the night one of the next incoming Bachelorette. Barely mentioned.
Yeah, there was like a soccer reference.
Yeah.
Versus like multiple.
Clayton really got it way worse than normal.
Multiple of these, but.
I obviously haven't been watching that long to know. I know that like sometimes there's like a little poking fun at the previous person. So like that checks out. But I remember thinking I remember seeing that and being like, this seems really intense for what happened. And my personal belief on all this, I think going through this experience specifically from my perspective, starting from day one, when I sat down with Cassidy and I saw everything unfolding and I was like, oh, she's kind of like like getting worked up about this situation. I think what I realized is I'm like, these are all real human reactions and interactions that happen on the day to day. And like, I know for a fact, I've been a villain in someone's mind in the real world. And I know for a fact, there's amazing good people that are presented. And I was given a decent edit, you know, up until then, not to say that my edit was anything out of the ordinary at the end. It's what happened. But, you know, the whole season I didn't have anything crazy presented about me. But I know, like, I've said shitty things in my life and I've handled breakups poorly. And that's just human nature. And the fact that we get, like, as reality people, we present that to the world and we open ourselves up to, you know, judgment and all of that. If everybody were to have a lens, like following them around, like we would all be villains. Like we would all be canceled. We would all be called gaslighters or, you know, egotistical or whatever. Like we've all done such shitty things in our lives. And I say that about myself, even acknowledging that I think I'm actually a pretty good person and I'm very kind to people and I'm kind to all my exes. Like I say that and I still can recognize like I've done shitty things in my life. And we can't handle things perfectly. So I just think like the villainization of people in general is so toxic because I'm like, these are real humans. These are real interactions. And when somebody does something shitty on television, like it's probably because they're socially unaware of the fact that that's a shitty thing. So like, and we have to give people the space to grow. And I don't know, I feel passionate about it because I saw what it can do to people and especially somebody like Clayton, who's a good guy. Yeah. And it's like, I think we're lucky that he's as healthy as he is today based on everything that happened.
I agree. It's great to hear what you're saying, that he's like zenned out and over all this shit. Cause I mean, he was one of the bachelors, one of the leads that I have felt kind of the most empathy for in all of this. And we've seen all these seasons and everything. I just felt so fucking bad for him. Cause I had never seen them do anything like that to a lead. Yeah. Do you think, you know, you're talking about like people who go on reality TV, they open themselves up and the, what we call the fourth audience, us watching the shows, come at you on DMs and all this kind of stuff. Do you think the producers, AKA your friends, have any responsibility in how they're presenting this material to try and curb some of that? Because it almost seems like they present it in a way that exacerbates it. Certainly they did with Clayton.
I would love for them to have that responsibility and to take on that responsibility. But I actually don't think that they do. I think it's unfortunate. But I think what will come from that is like we're swinging on that like totem pole. And like right now we're at this really toxic end of it in reality television because social media is making every day, the fourth wall, whatever, humans accessible to those of us that open ourselves up to that. And that's like a pretty new, recent thing in the last, you know, 7 years or whatever, 10 years. And we're still learning how to handle that as a society. And so like, although I don't want to sit here and say like, oh, like producers have a responsibility. I think that's a really great moral question. And I haven't thought on it. So I don't know that I want to say that they don't have a responsibility to, but I think that I signed up on the show knowing that they wouldn't. Like that was my understanding when I went on the show and I was really, really cautious. And I, like I told you guys, I present myself as very loving and I am, and I present myself as trusting, but the whole time I was there, I didn't trust anybody, especially at the end when everything kind of happened. And I realized like, oh, I did trust too much. So
I feel like that loving kindness plus the wherewithal to see what's going on is why I think we thought you would be the next Bachelorette just looking at your Instagram. Aww. 'Cause it's like you need to have that mental toughness and the ability to like be sweet to people and likable, et cetera.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I do think that, yeah, it's a really tough balance. And I don't know. I think I would love to see reality TV producers take more responsibility for how they portray people and how they edit people because of the access to the internet people have to us. And it truly is so damaging to mental health and to, you know, your ability to get a job and like, have a successful, peaceful life after the show. It's so like integrated now. So I would love to see them take more responsibility, but I guess I don't know that. I don't know that it ever necessarily will.
I think it will. I think it's changing right now. There's a huge conversation happening about mental health in reality TV, led largely by Jeremy Hartwell and Nick Thompson from Love is Blind season 2. They started that You Can Foundation. And obviously there are people like Nick Vial saying, screw them. He doesn't want any of this to change. He wants it to be the same Machiavellian kind of psychological torture chamber that it's always been. But I think they are going to make progress. And I think that we are going to see some form of accountability take place on the producer's end. Hopefully soon. Hopefully in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, that would be great. And I also think that like my personal belief is like the way everything is changing, whether it's like the influencer market, Instagram, reality TV, the longevity of reality TV, you know, fandom and stardom or whatever you want to call it. I think that they're going to be forced to change because I actually think that the mentality of some of the producers might have been like, oh, these people are going to be huge. They're going to make so much money. They're going to come off the show and they're going to be set for life. And I really think that it gave people permission for a long time to do these things and think you're going to be fine. Like you're going to make so much money. And that's not the case.
Yeah. I'm going to make you a star.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's like such an old school, like effed up, like Hollywood mentality. And I think, I do think that's going to change because people are like going to see what the reality is now. And it's like, I'm not exploiting myself for pennies, buddy. Like you're not going to ruin my life. And then I have to like go back to my 9-to-5 and everyone hates me in the world and can access my DMs, but I have to go back to my marketing job. Like no way. Like that's why I think we're on that edge. So I think I hope you're right that it'll swing back because I think that it's going to become a more normal thing. Everyone's accessible to everyone. So like nobody is a celebrity in that case. And I think that's good. When everyone can be connected and you can see what people are up to and see what people are doing with their life, it's like it eliminates the celebrity factor of it. And I think that's a good thing, but I think that's going to require better treatment for people to willingly sign up and do it.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, totally agree.
if you could change anything about The Bachelor, Bachelorette, what would you do? How do you think it could be a better show?
I think I would, well, I say this with love for my friends, but I would just block them and eliminate like any access they have to us. I personally think it would be so interesting. It's like, go back to kind of the old school real world vibes. I never really got into reality.
Yeah, docu style.
Yeah, I remember when there was just like, I remember, was it Jersey Shore? I have no idea. Like where they would just have cameras in the house. And people would just be filming. And maybe this is me being ignorant. Like, I'm sure there are producers then too. Actually, I'm sure I'm just being ignorant. But in my brain, I'm like, that was so less produced. And it was like really raw. And certainly there are producers. You have to have producers. And I think producers, they're good at their job. And I think there's certainly a way to utilize them. But I would just be like, be more hands off because people are crazy. Let us be crazy.
Yes, exactly. They've signed up for The Bachelor.
Literally, we don't need anybody to teach us to be crazy. Like, we are all a little bit sick in the head. And, you know, I just say, let people be.
I also think the fandom now, I mean, ourselves included, like, we understand the format and the game and the how the producers make the show and all of that so well. What I really want to get now in the show is the experience of somebody in the show. I want it almost to be like a docuseries about what is it like to be on The Bachelor, not the show. Show me what it's like to be on the show. I think that show is a much more entertaining show for the audience. And I think it's at least like new enough. You're still doing all the same thing. So in terms of logistics, you have to change nothing. You still have a night one and everybody's in the house and you're traveling and you're doing all the same stuff. You're just shooting it slightly differently from the perspective of the people in it instead of from the perspective of the producers who are manipulating the whole thing. I would love to see that version of it, you know?
I feel like the hands-off thing, like, then you actually get to know the people, and then you're going to root for their season. I'm like, I feel like we barely saw Charity. I would love to know more about her. What's her job, et cetera. And I'm like, I hope it's going to be a great season. I hope we get to see more of who the people actually are. And I feel like at this point, the friends are working so hard that people are terrified. Like, you were talking about Cassidy being, like, spiraling. And it's just a really tense environment when you're like that out of control of how you're going to be portrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like my suggestion to producers and to people that watch the show is like, stop trying to like cancel people. And cancel is probably not the right word, but stop trying to like shit on people for just being people. Like, if you want us to sign up and have an authentic, organic experience, then don't come into our DMs and tell us horrible stuff, because that's why people are scared to be authentic on television. And I, like myself included, I 100% protected myself on the show. And there were absolutely times that I stood up for what I believed was right. And I was like, people are going to be so pissed at me right now for doing this. A lot of it didn't make the final edit or whatever. But I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, this is wrong. And I'm going to say that. And I think people are afraid to do that because the internet is so cruel right now and people are so harsh. And I think probably, like, to your point, as you were saying earlier, producers, if they took more responsibility in how they portrayed people, and maybe it's not even producers at the producing level, but how things are edited and portrayed in post-production, which is also really important. I think people forget, like, you know, producers are on the ground, but there's also people editing and producing behind the scenes and post-production. And I think, I think that there's a more positive and like healthy way to be doing reality television in a way that can like spark and encourage a more organic experience. Because I personally feel like watching this last season, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so rinse and repeat.
Totally. I mean, I've talked a lot about this on our show. But really, it started with season 18, won Pablo Galvez, the first villain bachelor. It's kind of gone downhill since then. And instead of putting the leads and the people who even make it to the final rounds of the game, instead of putting them on pedestals like they used to and presenting them as heroes that we, the audience, can aspire to be or identify with, they're now all villains. We don't want to be any of them. And the sport of the game for us, the fourth audience, as presented by the producers, is to shit on these people. That's kind of what the show has become. So all that said, we recently learned from your interview on She's All Batch that you were going to be the next Bachelorette. You were in contention. You had signed the contract, and then Charity Lawson, or maybe you hadn't signed the contract.
I said, I'm out here negotiating. I got high standards.
As you should. There were also some other names in contention that we can't go into probably, but the rumors behind the scenes were that Mike Fleiss was still very much a force in that decision on who was going to be the next Bachelorette. And then when he got ousted, all of his kind of momentum for who he was going to select fell away, and it became Charity. Do you know, like, when you're in that process, when they're giving you the contract, you're negotiating, do you have any idea what's going on behind the scenes? Did they tell you anything, or are you just watching when Charity gets announced on TV? Is that how you find out?
So I to be completely honest, I have no idea how serious they were about the conversation that they had with me. And I'm like, my theory is like every year, like five people are probably in the talks of have like being the lead or whatever. And I really, really, really was like apprehensive to have a conversation and move forward. And like, I even went and talked to Clayton before I even like went out there to talk with anybody. Like, I was just very much like, I want to, and it was more so like, I wouldn't do this if this would be painful. And I also would like, I want your advice kind of a thing.
Did he say that you should do it or not?
Yeah. Clayton was very supportive. Like, I think he recognizes like the wonderful opportunity it is. And I think he recognizes you have the potential to meet 30 possibly incredible men. And we both want to see each other find love eventually. Obviously, it'll probably sting. Like, whenever one of us gets in that first relationship, it'll probably be like, oh, damn, like it's happening, you know, like it'll probably hurt a little. But I think at the end of the day, we both are rooting for each other so hard. And Clayton was 1000% supportive. And I think he appreciated the fact that I even called him and was like, hey, like, I just would want to even touch base with you before this even becomes a conversation. But no, I don't think anybody really has any clue what's happening, if I'm being honest. I think I was told before it aired that it wouldn't be me, but
just a little phone call from a friend 5 minutes before it airs.
They filmed that in a different warehouse. You also said during that incredible interview, everyone should go listen to it on She's All Batch, you said that social media is a tool you think can be used for good or evil. How do you think the show is using it? Do you think they understand it? Do you think it's important for modern reality TV at all?
Yeah, I think they should hire me.
I agree.
I actually thought about offering, actually, I think I might've even said it when they called me and I was like, if you guys like
not Bachelorette,
come on this season and like make amazing content for you, I'd be open to it, because that's way more my thing anyways than dating 30 guys, but way more career oriented.
You make the behind the scenes content, you date the scraps, you know, it's perfect.
Date the scraps. Jesus.
I'm sorry. That's an It's Always Sunny reference.
Oh my gosh. No, I feel like I'd find my man as like a night one elimination, like, you know, Roby.
Yes.
Yeah, Roby Sobieski.
I was like, Roby would have been there till the end. Like that little cutie, I'd be like, bring me some flowers.
You love a magician.
Yeah.
Magicians reach out.
Yeah, no, there was so many. I feel like I would never. That's the thing though. I don't think I'd be a good bachelorette. I would go for like, well, no, maybe that would be a good bachelorette. I would go for the people that most people would have no interest. Like, I'd probably get all the night one eliminations and be like, you're my people. You're probably the only nice people here. And like, you will love me forever. So let's get married.
This sounds like the dream. I don't know. I think we should make it happen. You know, they've done like little bit parts, you know, they had Demi Burnett come in as a private investigator.
I know.
Why not a social media person? And then, oh, I love it.
Well, I mean, you this as the face idea. Of Bachelor social media, like official Bachelor social media is
right?
insane. Like, they're crazy not to do it, in my opinion.
Yes.
Just,
I agree.
You know, from our take is like, we follow their social media very closely. They've done one or two posts that I was like, that's interesting. All the rest of the time, it's terrible, in my opinion. I don't think that...
I liked Clayton dancing with Shrek.
Why'd they do that to him? Honestly.
But it was great. Like, it was funny, and it showed that he had a good sense of humor and stuff. I love that.
I don't know.
But I just feel like they don't get it. They don't understand how integral it seems like social media is to reality television. And it almost seems like the show takes a very hard stance against social media, using it to, like, vilify people. And so, like, this past season, they had a couple of people on there, Victoria Jameson and Christina Mandrell, who had huge social media followings, and they immediately either made them villains or just like disappeared them from the show. And it's like, why even have them in it?
And Anastasia was a villain for saying she would get, you could get 50K on the show.
I honestly find that whole concept and like theory of vilifying people for social media and all that stuff, I find it so bizarre because, I mean, this is going to sound so mean and so harsh, but I'm like, anybody that comes after people that go on reality television and then utilize the network they've been given, whether it's collaborating with other other Bachelor Nation people, you know, leaning into their social media to create a business or whatever. Like, personally, like, you can call me an opportunist or whatever you want to, but I'm like, all of y'all that are out here talking shit are probably stuck at the same level of your stupid job. And you're just mad that there's people like taking opportunities and making the best of it. Because like, why is it so wrong for me to do a video with somebody from a different season? Like, why is it so like, I just, to me, I do not understand it. And I'm like, those people are just mad and bitter because honestly, like, there's so many wonderful people in my network and I would be a fool to let that narrative stop me from allowing my video business to thrive. Like, why would I not?
Yes. Like,
I will never understand that mentality and
making the best content in the nation.
But it's like the producers, your friends are the ones who promote that idea through the show. So everybody who's watching The Bachelor is at home and they're saying, if you say the word Instagram, you're a villain. If you have Instagram followers, you're a villain. So that message gets broadcast through the show itself. Then the fans return that message back to all of the players who have social media platforms. And it's just insane because if you're going on any reality TV show, Bachelor or otherwise, that's part of why you're doing it. 100% that's part of why you're doing it, you know, and that's not bad. It's a job.
If somebody says that they go on The Bachelor only to find love, I'm like, get out of here and go on Bubble. Honestly, go. Sorry, but like, you're a liar if that's the case. And that's not to say that I didn't go on the show with full intentions of like, I think if there's like, and it's so funny because I actually ended up at the very end and like with Clayton for 9 months or whatever. But I'm like, if there's anybody that could fall in love on TV, my friends were like, Susie, it's you. You're crazy. You've done 1,000 things. You literally are a videographer. You document your life. You're literally the biggest adventurous. You're open-minded. You're open to every experience that presents itself to you. You would be the perfect person to go on reality TV and actually find love. And like, I was like, you know what? You're right. And I'm not afraid of it. Like, I remember having that mentality, but I think people that are going to come on and be like, I am only here because I just can't find love in my small town. I'm like, well, then move to New York or move to Atlanta because there's 1,000 people in this world and you don't know this man for shit. Like, I'm sorry. I just call BS on all that. And I don't know. That's my mentality. What? I'm going to get canceled after this interview. I got to be mad. But I just think it's ridiculous. I'm like, people get so up in arms about this stuff. And I'm like, we're all human beings and you're a fool to not take advantage of the wonderful, beautiful opportunities that come from like meeting all these amazing people from the show, including the producers and the friends. And like, there's so many, there are good people that come from this, regardless of my experience, good and bad. Like there's wonderful things that have come from this. And I will just, if anyone's going to judge me for taking advantage of it, then I will judge them right back.
Well, I mean, it couldn't be better said. I think that is a fantastic way to wrap up this interview. Susie, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys are like, get her out of here.
No, I mean, it's part of, you're 100% right. We agree with everything you're saying. I mean, that's one of our kind of biggest complaints about, especially the Bachelor franchise, is like how much it does shit on people for using social media when it's like, you should be encouraging it. You should be holding up all of your players and the people who have come through your show and helping them build their social media followings, because that encourages fans to keep watching the show and keep engaging with their favorite people when the show's not on the air. I just will never understand why The Bachelor doesn't like it. But
I love it. Absolutely. If the Bachelor wants to make a star out of all their next contestants.
And get better people on the show. Wait, I do have one last question. Well, would you go on Bachelor in Paradise or Love is Blind?
Or Perfect Match.
Or Zero.
I think Love is Blind would have probably been a great avenue for me, because I think I like the concept of it. And I like that. I think that's cool, loving somebody for who they are. And I like that. I mean, they're all Netflix shows. So like, I probably could never do them, but Perfect Match, I actually did watch that. I don't watch a lot of reality, but like, that was so fun.
It was such a good show.
That's cool. Nick from that show. And it was interesting because he's like, it's tricky because it's pretty manipulative in the sense that like, yeah, you want to meet somebody, but also you want to stay on the show. And he's like, you don't really know people's true intentions. And like, I can see how similar to being on The Bachelor, that's like a big mental thing where you're like, oh, I don't know what's real and what's not. And so I mean, I would do a lot of things. I'm like open-minded. I don't think I'll do Paradise. I said, no, I'm going to focus on my career this summer. I'm doing a couple weddings in June and just focusing my energy in that direction. I just don't think it's really aligned for me, but, I don't know. Maybe you never know, but not this year.
But we got the Susie show on your social media. Where can people find your amazing content?
You can find me on TikTok, Susie Was Like, on Instagram, Susie C. Evans, on YouTube, Susie Was Like, and my blog, SusieWasLike.com.
Fantastic.
Love that.
Well, thank you again, Susie, so much for joining us and having this conversation. You're one of our favorite players of all time. And we hope we get to see you on something soon. If not all of your social media, maybe somewhere back in a reality TV capacity.
If y'all have any ideas, let me know. You know, I'd love it for it not to be about my dating life, but like, I'm down. I'm down for an adventure, but I just don't know which one. But thank you guys for having me. Yeah. I had so much fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. We were so excited to have you.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then